Welcome back, and this is the Golden Years Coaching Badge class, and this is session number 10, and we're going to call this one Gates 2, because we're talking about gates, and a gate is something that lets people in or keeps them out. A synonym also could be used here for gates is strongholds. And there's at least 100 verses in Scripture, in the Bible. And you can look them up. You can just Google strongholds. And there you go. And then you can read them. There's 100 of them. And basically, what they are is basically a military term where a stronghold is where you have your strongest military unit guarding something, and you're not going to let anybody take that position. That's a stronghold. So a gate is sort of like the same thing in that a stronghold is at the gate. Something that's going to protect that gate from invasion. And we know from Paul that the enemy is from the spiritual realm. So we really need a strong hold at our gate. And we talked about education and the media, films, art, music, and how they can corrupt the minds of our young. And today I want to touch on three other of the seven, and that's counseling, social services, and finance. Now, when we look at finance, if you think about it, you can't produce films. You can't teach. You're not able to really counsel well. You're not really able to provide social services if you don't have finance. My father used to say, with a smile on his face, without money, there's no love. Now, you might argue with him about that statement, you know, oh no, that's not true. You got love and money are two different things. But you had to understand where he was coming from. See, he was coming from the point, and I'm going to explain that in a second, that without money, you're not going on a date. Without money, you can't wine and dine. Without money, you can't show your prospective beloved a good time. So that's why he was saying, without money, there's no love, because what is she going to see you as? Young men, I'm speaking to the men now, how is that young lady going to see you? She's going to see you as cheap, unable to provide. So money is important for life, because without money, unless you're a hunter and you can kill your own meal every day, you have to buy food. And during this pandemic, it seemed like toilet paper became a very interesting commodity that everybody suddenly wanted. And you can't get the toilet paper unless you got money. So we're looking at finances, social services, and counseling as gates that we as Christians need to hold. Now, when we look at the Jewish community and we see how they were dispersed throughout many nations, and in medieval Europe, they were not allowed to own property. They weren't allowed to do this, that, and the other thing. So they became merchants. And as merchants, people would buy their goods, and as a result of buying their goods, they accumulated money. And as they accumulated money, they were able to lend it. and earn more money. And one of the reasons why a lot of the non-Jewish community would do business with the Jewish community is because if they bought something from a Jewish merchant, let's say in Venice, and they wanted to get it to Rome, well, he already had a, as we say in Italian, a paisan. He already had a fellow Jewish merchant in Rome who would accept the goods. So they knew that if they brought it to this Jewish merchant, he would then ship it to his Jewish merchant, who would then get it to where they wanted it to go safely. And as a result, they built wealth. And because they had wealth in terms of dollars, they were able to then finance education, finance art, but they were also able to provide social services, so that if a fellow Jew was poor, they would help that Jewish person to get on his feet, maybe help him get with a trade, but they would help him. And that's social services. They also provided counseling because they were able to use their finances in these areas. And that's what made the Jewish people prosperous. And they continue to use the same strategies and formats that they did back then. Where and how did they learn these strategies? Well, they learned the strategies from their Talmud. The Talmud is sort of a collection of thoughts by rabbis who wrote these things down in a book way back in when they were exiled to Babylon to provide clarification to what the scriptures said. And it taught them all sorts of things on their religious life, how they were to eat, how they were to work, how they were to help each other, how they were to finance opportunities. So they did all these things, and it all came out of, believe it or not, capitalism all comes out of the Jewish Talmud. We Gentiles, we Christians, we learn some of that from them. However, since we don't study the Talmud, we never really get the whole gist of the thing. And that's why today, here we are in this course, we're seniors, we're retired, we have accumulated this knowledge of how to use our talent and time and money, but we need to be able to do the very same thing. Teach our young people how to use their finances in order to improve finances, and how to use the finances that we earn in a way that helps the Christian community in social services and in counseling, education, and entertainment. One other aspect that we need to consider and why we need a gate at finances is because we need to make sure that we're investing money wisely, that we're not going to be taken in by some quick get-rich scheme. We're not going to put all our eggs in one basket that's very risky. So we really need to study and learn how to finance or how to use our money. Now, some of you out there who are retired, you may have been in the finance business. You may have been in the banking business. Maybe you accumulated some money on Wall Street. So you're familiar with the mechanism of finance, and you could be training, coaching young people on how to manage their money more efficiently And also, more importantly, you know, how to recognize the shyster, how to recognize the guy who's going to scam them into losing their money. Also, you know, part of this is let's earn the money honestly. And where can we earn money honestly? How can we invest our money honestly so that we have an honest return? So we want to be able to share this knowledge with young people so that they can become financially secure and prosperous. But one other thing that I'd like to make mention here about finances is that what is it that you need in terms of finances? How much do you need? And what is really enough money to have a comfortable lifestyle? You know, you talk to a billionaire and he might think that a millionaire is in poverty. Or a multimillionaire who's talking to somebody who has hundreds of thousands and he's poor. So, you know, we need to understand the perspective of what is enough money to live a comfortable life. And we need to be able to teach that to our young people. So those of you who are and have been in the finance area, being able to coach these people, these young people, on how to be financially savvy so that they can be teaching others to be financially savvy. And in doing so, understand that Scripture says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, that the person who gives also is the same person that receives. And the one who holds on tight loses even what he has. So the Lord wants us to be able to be generous, as he is generous with us. And I mentioned the Talmud before, but the Talmud gets most of those ideas on finance from the Bible. So we really need to look at Scripture and see exactly what the Scripture tell us about prosperity and how to be prosperous. And one of those things is not being stingy, helping other people. As I mentioned, one of the things that the Jewish people did while they were scattered was they helped each other. We Christians, do we help each other? Do we provide social services out of the church? And I'm not talking about, you know, having a meal once a month. I'm talking about helping people get off the ground, get back on their feet, I should say, and be able to work and earn a living, learn how to invest money, so forth and so on. I was reading something about rabbis. When they go to school, unlike our ministers, they're actually taught how to invest money. So that when they're working in their synagogues and they're talking to their membership, they're not only able to speak about the Lord, but they're also able to counsel them on how to become financially prosperous. Our churches don't do that. Our ministers are not taught that way. So we seniors, retirees, in our golden years now, we should be able to take that knowledge that we have and train young people. And also be training potential ministers, priests, to do the same thing with the church. So that a church doesn't necessarily rely on, you know, tithes. And let's think of it this way. Supposing you have a church and The church, the congregation only makes $10,000 a month. So what's 10% of that? $1,000. Well, what if you manage to get your congregation earning $1 million? Then tithing 10% is $100,000. So instead of asking for more money, you train them how to earn more money so they can give more money. Now, isn't that what we should be doing? As Christians in our golden years, helping young people, young ministers, future pastors on how to do these things so that we can provide for counseling, teaching people, counseling them, whatever the situation may be. Marriages may be on the rocks because they're poor and they're struggling, and now their relationship is in turmoil. Counseling so that someone who's lost their job, how to find another job, or maybe change careers. Services, social services. Someone is ill, can't work, so now we help them out to get them back on their feet and provide them whatever they need. Elderly, the same thing. But that all comes from being able to do what? Generate money. Prosperity. But we have to be able to teach those fundamentals on how to earn money. Now, one of the things that I did teaching at a university, and I was teaching public speaking, which really had nothing to do with this, but I taught public speaking through this concept. And that concept was find a problem and solve it. If someone else is working on the same problem and they're solving it, can you solve it 10% better? There's lots of vacuum cleaners out there and there's lots of cars. Can you make one a little better? A little more gas mileage, a little whatever. Same thing in anything, okay? Can you make a computer run better? Can you make a better application? Solve a problem, find a problem, and solve it. And when you do that, you now have a vehicle to earn money. And by earning money, you're able to provide for those services. So we need to teach our young people, we need to be able to coach our young people to do these things. So you can see now that all these gates interreact with one another. Finance is very, very important, because without it, you can't have love, as my dad would say. Meaning, you can't take the girl on a date. Young ladies, you can't buy a new pair of shoes to go on the date. You can't go to the beauty parlor to get your hair done so you look real pretty on the date. So we need finances to be able to do certain things. And the things that we're looking to do with our finances is we want to make sure that we're counseling young people, we're counseling our children properly, we're providing them, those that need it, with social services, whether they're unemployed, whether they're sickly, whatever the case, whatever their need is, we need to provide funds for the right kind of education that teaches people how to manage money, earn money, make money, solve problems in order to be prosperous to do the other things. We need financing to be able to produce the right kind of music, art, and movies that are spiritually beneficial to everyone. That's why finances is important. So we need it for counseling, social services, we need it for education, we need it for entertainment. So finances is very important. And we're also going to see that finance is also very important for the last two gates, moral law and government. Moral law and government. Now, we're going to discuss those two in our next video. But in the meantime, your homework is to think about these gates. How can you be a stronghold in those gates? How does your time, talent, and money, and life, energy, can provide and be a steward, a coach, a mentor for others, so that they can fortify and strengthen those gates to make them strongholds against the enemy. Until next time, God bless.